You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Halftime Adjustments on WPXI Now.
Welcome to Over the Hump Day. Wow, we have a big night here on WPXI Now. I'm Albie Oxenreiter. This is Halftime Adjustments. Chris Carter from DKPittsburghSports.com is on the other end. We've got all kinds of great stuff, including the big special that we have coming up after Halftime Adjustments with the announcement of the NFL schedules and the Steelers schedule. Chris, there are always leaks one way or another, and we know that the Steelers will be opening up at Buffalo. Your thoughts on that and what we might see tonight in what's going to be a very interesting schedule for the Steelers.
It will be very interesting with the Steelers having the strongest strength of schedule in the NFL. A lot of teams are going to, a lot of teams are looking at the Steelers and saying, okay, we get to line them up for a tough year. And a lot of people are wondering if the Steelers can have a strong season with so many playoff opponents. But leading off with the Bills is an interesting point here, Albie, because they're going on the road to Buffalo. It's the seventh straight season where they have started the season with a road game. They haven't played at Heinz Field to kick off a season since 2014 when they beat the Browns. That's how long it's been for the Steelers, and it seems odd that that's become basically a tradition for Steelers football. But they're going on the road to Buffalo, a team that's beaten them twice in a row with Sean McDermott's guys in the last 2 years. It's going to be an interesting tone setter because the Bills are a team that ranked number two in overall offense last year. They scored a ton of points behind Josh Allen, but their defense was very mediocre. But in the game where they beat the Steelers, their defense really rose to the occasion and kept Ben Roethlisberger kind of locked up for most of the game. They even had a pick six on him. So this is going to be a quick test, a quick barometer of where the Steelers are with their offense to start the season with, you know, new offensive line pieces, presumably Najee Harris getting his first NFL start, and Ben Roethlisberger, you know, having to work with a new offensive coordinator in Matt Canada. They're going to get to go up against a defense that didn't rank too high last year, but still gave them problems. And that, and the Bills on the road, that was one of those games, Albie, that I was looking at and like, that's probably one of their toughest games because of the way the Bills played last year and how they're trending very upwards with the organization.
Yeah, and I mean, we know this. We know that it's a difficult – I mean, first of all, the AFC North is tougher than it normally is because the Browns came on last year. Whether or not they can continue it is another story, but the Browns appear to be a better team. The Baltimore Ravens are a solid team. Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo on the road, as you mentioned. And then the game that you really never know, and that's Cincinnati home and away. You never know about that, as well as some other games. One thing I've learned, and that is, I haven't learned much, but one thing I've learned is when you think a schedule is going to be the most difficult in the league, sometimes they're able to handle that schedule a little better than some people think they would. And, you know, they talk about the Eagles having the easiest schedule in the league. You know, sometimes that might be more difficult because you're looking at teams and how they performed last year. It's not always the case. You know, sometimes a lot has to go right for a team to play as well as they did last year. So perhaps it won't be as tough as everybody thinks it will be. And perhaps the Eagles will have a tougher schedule than everybody thinks. You really don't know. But it is on paper a difficult challenge in what could or appears to be Ben Roethlisberger's final hurrah. And let me tell you something, there's a lot that has to fall into place, starting with that opener on the road at Buffalo, as you mentioned.
Right, because again, they're playing a ton of playoff teams. They have to go on the road to play the Chiefs, on the road to play the Packers. They get to host the Titans, the Seahawks. They have to play the Ravens and the Browns twice. That's several games. I mean, I think that's at least half of their season going up against playoff teams. That's unusual for teams, and not just playoff teams, not just wild card teams, but teams that were prominent in the playoffs, teams that were in the AFC Championship game, like the Chiefs and the Packers. So, you know, there's going to be a really interesting mix here of how the Steelers fare in these few games. We'll see when they get some of those games. You know, the Steelers typically come on really strong in October, you know, in recent years. So maybe, you know, Steelers fans, you should be hoping for some of those Chiefs and Packers games to come in during that stretch. I know we've had leaks and such that have kind of, you know, gone throughout the day. And by the time you're watching this, there are probably even more leaks before the actual release. Don't believe everything you hear, because some stuff is just pure poppycock and just people trolling. But either way, one thing I think that the Steelers could look forward to is it looks like there's not going to be any holiday games this year. And that's been a stretch where they've had a game on Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving for several of the past few years. But also, you know, one thing will be interesting is with that first Bills game being at 1 p.m., how many primetime games do the Steelers get? Because with all those playoff opponents and the rivalries and how the AFC North had the most wins of any division last year, you'd think that there'd be a lot of primetime games. I thought for sure the Bills would be one of them, but I'm wondering what's going to happen with, you know, how many games they get to play at night, whether at Heinz Field or on the road.
Yeah. And there are a couple of games in London as well. Not for the Steelers, but you make an interesting point on the holiday games. You know, there was a stretch there when it seemed like they had a holiday game, at least every other year, or maybe even more than that. Hey, listen, schedules are fun to look when it's April or May. Schedules are fun to check out because it kind of gets everybody in the mood. It kind of lets you see what exactly is ahead for them. And in our mind, they can't look at it this way. But in our mind, as early as May, mid-May, we're going to be figuring out how many wins and losses the Steelers have. That's the way it always works. They don't have that luxury. They can't look ahead week to week, let alone month to month, or, you know, 3 months down the road or 4 months down the road. We do have that luxury. And I agree with you that when you talk about Green Bay and Seattle and Tennessee and Kansas City, as well as the game at Buffalo. Yeah, those are some very difficult games, not to mention Cleveland and Baltimore. So this is a difficult run, but they knew it would be that way. And I think that in some ways, that's when the Steelers are at their best, when they know there's a challenge ahead. And I know the Steelers Nation is hoping that that's the case this year as they look at the schedule. All right. We'll be talking about the Penguins and where is that schedule when we come back right here on Halftime Adjustments. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. Albie Oxenreiter with Chris Carter. And yes, when we went into the break, I failed to tell you because I wanted to wait till we had a moment all to itself to promote Inside the Draft coming up on WPXI now at 8 o'clock. Chris will be joining me, Jenna Harner as well. We're going to be talking about the draft, everything, or not the draft. Did I say Inside the Draft? Schedule.
You said Inside the Draft. You know,
it's hump day. I'm just trying to get over the hump. Inside the Schedule. We're going to be analyzing the schedule. We're going to be talking about the opponents for the Steelers. And Chris talked about primetime. So we're going to see how many of those are on their schedule as well. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. All right. Speaking of schedules, Chris, are you surprised? Maybe you're not that the NHL and NBC have failed to release the schedule for the Penguins. It's Wednesday. Now that may come tonight, but, what's the delay?
I am surprised. I mean, this is the thing, is that if hockey's going to take the step forward to become a more prominent sport among the four majors in America, it needs to get on the level that the NFL is doing. I know it can't, I'm not saying that they need to be at the NFL's level right now, but we literally just talked for an entire segment, and after this, we're talking about an entire show about what the Steelers' schedule is for next season, and that season is 5 months or 4 months away. We're talking about when do the Penguins play the Islanders, hopefully this weekend. Like, that's the level that we're at here with the NHL. And I get it. COVID's tough. Things are rough. It's not easy to plan everything out. And there's capacity. Things are going to be, you know, the indoor capacity has been increased, so there could be more fans at games now, Albie. But it is bizarre that the NHL is just sort of dragging its feet in this situation. You know, I know that there's other teams that still got to finish their seasons and things, but this needed to be handled so that tickets could be sold, that promos can be made, and everyone can just get to knowing. I mean, do the teams even know at this point? It's a lot when you go into preparing for a specific day of when to play to know, okay, we're going to do this kind of workout on this day. We're going to run this kind of practice on this day. And then we're going to try to make sure that we're rested on this day and then be ready for game day. And when you don't know until, a day before, that's rough. And that can ruin a whole playoff schedule. Heck, the Steelers went through that when they were trying to reschedule the Ravens game, on Thanksgiving, not knowing, okay, when do we actually prepare for this game? The Penguins and the Islanders, through no fault of their own, are sitting there in limbo because of the NHL and NBC. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bruins and Capitals will play after the Preakness on Saturday night, but the Penguins could very well start on Sunday. And I mean, that's inside 100 hours to the game. Yeah. You talk about ticket sales. How about just the interest that you're generating? I mean, when the interest that you're generating is, what's the delay on the schedule? That's immediately a negative observation of what they're handling. You're right. There are challenges this year with COVID and the short season and the trouble that they had, with COVID and some teams still playing out their season. But they know what the matchups are in the East. Okay,
right.
So they enough so that they announced the Bruins and Capitals for Saturday night, which means they have a schedule in mind. Perhaps they have an absolute schedule decided. I just don't know what the delay is, but that's the way things go. The Penguins know they're going to play the Islanders. That much they know. This is a defensive-minded team. I have four observations, and then I want to hear what you think. That's an inside joke with Chris and I. Listen, I think I'm very impressed with the Penguins season. I think the sky's the limit for this team based on what they did in the regular season. I think they are a serious cup contender. There's four things that come into play as far as doubt. One is they only played teams in their own division. They haven't seen Tampa Bay. They haven't seen Carolina. They haven't seen those other teams. That's one observation. The second observation is they have a pretty long layoff here between when they finish their regular season and when the playoffs will begin. The third thing is you hope, and this is always an observation, that they didn't peak too soon. And the fourth observation is, as well as they did, and you have to play who's on your schedule, but they did play New Jersey and Philadelphia and those teams that you expect them to beat, Buffalo being another one, which may have inflated their point total a little bit. Having said that, I'm very impressed with the Penguins, and I expect them to do good things in the playoffs. Your thoughts?
It doesn't matter what I think. The Penguins have proven that they're a Stanley Cup playoff team. The way they finished this season, Albie, a month ago, you and I were, my big thing was they should be proud of the March that they had. So if they had a bad April, they could have still made the playoffs, because a month ago, we were still, 2 months ago, we were wondering, is this team going to make the playoffs? Can they be one of the top four teams in the East? And they proved that, hey, we're not at the top, but we're number one. And I think they deserve that respect. And to finish that strong through April, absolutely. Like you said, they are a cup favorite team. I would not doubt them for a second for being able to get there. Now, where your worries are, where your concerns are, of course, you're worried. One, you're scared of injuries. Finally, all the Penguins seem like they're getting back to being healthy. How many times have we thought that was going to happen for the Penguins this year? And then, whoop, something crazy happens, and then they're missing a key player or several key players, and something goes wrong. And the Islanders, a team that this was the team that everyone wanted them to face. They probably weren't going to face the Capitals anyways. You didn't want them to take on the Bruins because the Bruins had given them a hard time. The Islanders were the team that, hey, if the Penguins take them on, they've won the season series against these guys. They know how to play them, but you're still concerned that you're going to have last year what happened, and you're out last 2 years what happened, and then just random bad things happen, and then you're out of the playoffs. There's still your normal concerns. You want to make sure that the chemistry is back involved with the Penguins, even with all their guys back at the same time. You want to make sure that their lines are straight, and you want to make sure that they're healthy. But to me, if you're a Penguins fan and you're sitting there, you have to feel pretty good that your team is ready to go and take on this playoff run and give it another go with this core that's brought you three cups already.
All right. All this being said, I think we both agree the Penguins could do special things in the playoffs. So stay tuned as soon as that schedule comes out. All right. We're back to talk about Pitt basketball, and maybe a couple other topics might come up at some point or another. This is Halftime Adjustments. Chris and I will be right back. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. Albie Oxenrider with Chris Carter. And it has been a great offseason for the Pitt Panthers basketball program. And it was a rough week. They lost out on a five-star recruit. Let's face it, Justin Champagne was a special player. And he officially has entered the draft. He'll hire an agent. And, this to go along with the transfers that they had, Chris, it's a difficult time. There's going to be some JUCO transfers and there will be other ways of building up this program, but Jeff Capel certainly has his hands full.
He certainly does. I still think that there's a lot of people out there trying to call for Jeff Capel's head, and I think that that's too much. There are three unprecedented situations that he is handling right here. One, what we all know, taking over Kevin Stallings, who had the worst winning percentage of any Pitt basketball coach in the last 100 years. That's a fact, on top of several of the organizational problems that existed while Kevin Stallings was there. Two, you had COVID-19 wreck the season. You had a shortened season where they only played 22 regular season games. Then you also had, you couldn't bring your guys in person to work out with them for quite some time. A lot of those guys, especially that really strong freshman class that he brought in 2020, they had to kind of work out in their own spaces longer than normal. So that was rough on them. And now you're dealing with the transfer situation, where there are over 1,550 transfer players. Albie, there were never more than 1,025, and that was last year. And last year was a whole lot, was a record-setting number. So, this is an unprecedented situation on top of an unprecedented situation on top of an unprecedented situation for Jeff Capel. So I agree. His hands are full, and he should absolutely be given time to work things out. But, man, like you said, it's been rough. Efton Reed, a guy who reportedly the Pitt was in on and that they were really close to getting. He was a five-star center from Florida, 7'1", scorer, defender, rebounder, would have been the big man in the paint that would have changed everything, would have been the biggest name recruit that they've had since Steven Adams or DeJuan Blair, and then he ended up going to LSU at the last second there. And that's got to be frustrating for Pitt. And then the day after that, Justin Champagne declares for the NBA draft. For those who might not be, who might have brushed it last season to the side, it should not just be thrown away what Justin Champagne did. He averaged a double-double. He was the only player in the ACC to average a double-double. He was the first Pitt Panther to be named first team all ACC since they joined the conference. He was a spectacular player. But, I wrote this for DKPittsburghSports.com. This is still something to celebrate, the fact that he's going to the NBA draft. Even if he's drafted super late in the second round, he will be the first Pitt guy to finish his college career at Pitt and then make it to the NBA since Jamel Artis. So that's still something to celebrate, but it's still rough because, like you said, Albie, five guys went into the transfer portal. And now with Justin Champagne, you've lost four of your five consistent starters last season and basically rebuilding this year. Now, they've gotten some guys already. They got Nate Santos, a 6'7" sharpshooter, who's their lone high school guy right now. They got some transfers from different programs like Daniel Oladapo from Oakland or Jamarius Burton. But now their recent one that they got this week was Chris Payton, who was arguably the top junior college recruit in the transfer portal. And he's a guy who averaged a double-double in junior college. Now, of course, no one's going to be asking him to do that in the ACC. That's a huge adjustment. But still, he's a dunker, he's a scorer, he's a rebounder, he has a good low post game. Those are the things that you want to see put back into the program. And now Jeff Capel has to cultivate a strong culture of guys who are going to believe in the program and develop these guys. Because this last year, Albie, 2020 saw Femi Udukale. They saw William Jeffers. You hope for Noah Collier to come around. We'll see what happens with John Hugley. He's dealing with some federal charges. We'll see what happens in that direction. And you still got guys like Max Madison. You're hoping to turn around their careers, maybe with a full season of working out. There's still a young core on this team that you can build around and hope to be competitive in the ACC soon. You still got players like Ithiel Horton and Nike Sabande who showed promise this last year as transfer players and who will be there next year. So there's guys you can build around. It's not desolate and hopeless, but it's still a rough position when, you know, this time last year, everyone was hoping that that 2020 was going to be the year that Pitt basketball finally got, you know, further in the ACC tournament, maybe was talking about an NCAA bid, and none of that happened. And now it's tough to see that happening this year with the guys that left. But like I said, Jeff Capel, he has to rebuild a culture, and he's dealing with three unprecedented situations all on top of each other. That's a lot harder than people realize.
Yeah, and I think the disappointing part of this, the challenges that he faces, is the fact that next season, when it gets around late next fall, you're going to be a lot closer to normalcy if you're not already there. And you know, two seasons ago, of course, they had to cancel the NCAA tournament. I know that didn't affect Pitt, but psychologically, that was a big blow to college basketball. Then recruiting the entire time between 2020 and the 2021 season, 2019-20, and then next season that followed was affected. And then last season was obviously affected in a big way. And if they get back to normal, you'd like things, everything to be in line so they can jump right back in. And that's the other thing, the ACC, you know, all these problems that they're facing, they're having to keep up with some programs that are storied. And it's a difficult, that's the fourth thing on top of the other three that makes it very difficult for Jeff Capel. He, though, in we talked about this before, towards the end of the season, did a great job of keeping things in perspective and kind of understanding what his players were going through. And I think that the players appreciate that. And I think that that's the kind of leadership in the middle of all these very difficult challenges that makes him in a good position right now. All right. Dean's telling us to wrap up. You know, just when we get rolling. You know, we gotta get moving because we got that big Inside the Schedule show coming up. Not the draft, the schedule. When we come back, we'll have our final thoughts here in Halftime Adjustments. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments, where we always care what you think. We try to talk about the issues and the subjects in sports that we know are of interest to you. And hey, let's just finish by mentioning the Pirates. The Pirates got to 500, and I think, you know, a lot of people were excited that they at least were there.
They got over 500 for a day.
They got over 500 for a day. And you know, now they've, despite the fact that they won last night, they're still five games under 500. And listen, they're competing. And I think that people appreciate that. They finally beat the Reds for the first time in five games. Your thoughts on where the Pirates are now as we enter late May, Chris?
Well, I mean, the Pirates right now are still the team that I told you from the beginning, guys. They're not going to be going anywhere important this year. This is all about developing and seeing where this team can be headed. I think it's very encouraging to see that these guys are fighting. And that's the thing. If you don't have the superstar players, just show your fans that you're out there every single night, every single game, battling. And that's why they were called the Battling Buckos for so long. You do that, you'll become beloved by your fans, and you'll be helped develop a winning culture there in the locker room, in the ball club. That's what you got to do. I think they're starting to do that with what little they can.
All right. Make sure you stay with us. Chris, don't go anywhere. We're going to be going inside the schedule next on WPXI Now. For Chris Carter, I'm Albie Oxnard. Thanks for being with us on Halftime Adjustments.